Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Work, 9 to 5, family, 8 hours sleep, and I can throw in a bit of time to exercise. And that sound said, that's the notion and the image that says, okay, this is a balanced life. If you're achieving this, you're living a balanced life. Whereas as Jesus followers, especially church leaders, or anybody that's working in ministry, it's not possible to live like that. It's just not possible. It just doesn't work like that. In fact, Jesus' followers, us, his followers, we sometimes even experience more stress if we try to compress our life into that kind of schedule. Have you found that? You kind of start stressing about your schedule, the very thing that you're putting in place to say, this is here to help me not get stressed and help me stay balanced and help me stay good, but I'm actually stressing about it. I'm stressing about the fact that I've worked late, or I'm stressing about the fact that I didn't get to exercise this week, or I'm stressing about the fact that I didn't get the chores done this Saturday. Now, I've got a list on the fridge, and some of those jobs, it's like, the time's gone for that now. That's going to be up there till next summer. Because it's just not, it's like paint fence. That's been up there for 2 years. I did one side, and I was really pleased with that, but there's still another 2 sides of fence that need paint. It's like, well, that's not going to get done now. Paint the playhouse. That didn't get done. Whilst packing away the playhouse a couple of weeks ago, the ladder collapsed from under me. So that's another job to go on there. Replace ladder on Elijah's playhouse. But it's just like this idea of on Saturday, I'll get all these jobs done. I don't know about you, but I don't find that that generally works. Something else comes up. Something else comes in. Oh, I'm just thinking, you know what? I just can't be bothered today. It's been hard this week. And the last thing I want to do is start painting a fence. And it rolls on and it rolls on and it rolls on. And you can either get stressed and think, I'm just not getting it done. I'm not getting it done. I'm not getting it done. The house needs cleaning. I'm not getting it done. And all these things start to pile up. And the very thing that says, if I follow this schedule, I'll be balanced and good and free, eventually causes me to be stressed, bound up, and freaking out. So the very thing that I'd put in place to help becomes the hindrance in and of itself. Does that make sense? That schedule just causes more stress. I've simply found that any systematic method of dividing up the limited resources of time that I have to help achieve balance just doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. Something always comes in, doesn't it? You think you've found balance, and then one of your kids gets ill. Or you think you've found balance, and you get a pay cut. Or you think you've found balance, and something else happens. You think, oh, man, I thought I'd got there. I thought I'd reached that peak of balance, and now it's not there. It's not there. Why? Because that living a life and that balanced life and trying to live that kind of life is an organic problem. When we try to put a system of balance in, we try to solve it with a mechanical solution. And things that are organic and natural cannot be solved with a mechanic solution. There needs to be a natural flow to that. There needs to be a natural flow to it. Dan Ryland, who's, I don't like using the word leadership expert, but he kind of is a leadership expert, writes some great stuff after over 30 years of ministry. He's also an executive pastor at one of the churches in the States. And he said this, essentially, time management alone doesn't work. Not anymore. Culture has changed, and time compression has changed our lives. Priority management does help, and energy management helps even more, but they still don't provide a full answer. And I love how John Maxwell, when he says, he's always asked to go and speak on time management, and he'll always just say, I can't, because you can't manage time. We all get 24 hours and that's it. What you do with those 24 hours is up to you, but you can't manage time. You don't have the ability to manage time, not unless you're Doctor Strange and you manage to find the time infinity stone and you're able to manipulate time, or you're the doctor from Doctor Who and you can time travel, you know, then you'd be all right, wouldn't you? But, you know, last time I checked, that just wasn't ability. That wasn't listed in the gifts and anointings, you know. To time travel, it'd be great, but it just doesn't happen. We can't manage time. We get time and that's it. You have it, 24 hours. We all get the same. That's fair. Okay, you can't say it's not fair. I don't have enough time. You've got as much as everybody else. Okay, if you're managing to find more, then I don't know how you're doing it, but we can't manage it. It's there. Time is time. But we're often bombarded with messages that say it's important to live a balanced life. And this is saying there's certain stuff that come out and it says, if you're not doing this, you're failing. If you're not living like this, you're getting it wrong. If you're not following this particular pattern, you haven't got it right, and it's all going to fall apart, it's all going to collapse, it's all going to crumble. And we're bombarded with that message that says if you want to live a balanced life, if you want to be emotionally and spiritually healthy, enjoy good family time and be successful, you need to achieve balance. But the problem is that the more you chase that dream, the dream becomes more and more like a holy grail. You're chasing after this thing where you never find it, and you look around you, and it becomes more of a holy grail because nobody else has found it either. And you start to think, is this even possible? Can I achieve balance? Can I get there? Can this happen? Is this lifestyle nirvana really true? But anybody that goes after that, it eludes them. And if everybody's truly honest, we all find that, yeah, eventually I think I might have got there, but I just don't find it. Balance just doesn't get there. And this is where there's a difference between balance and rhythm. And in this Bible verse, it doesn't say, learn the unforced balance of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And there's a difference between rhythm and balance. So I want to look a little bit at rhythm now, because as we look at what that word says, watch how I do this. I'm going to come to that shortly, at the kind of rhythm that Jesus lived, the kind of rhythm that his life followed, and how that followed that particular rhythm, and how that served him well as he worked on the earth and did what he did on earth. We're blessed, aren't we, because we don't only hear what Jesus said, we get to see what Jesus did. So we don't just have to think, well, that was okay for the people that were there with him. They got to see him do it. We know what he did. Through the Gospels, we know what he did, and we know what he said, and we can follow how he lived a particular life and modeled how to live the Christian life. If we're going to live the Christian life, the best model is Jesus, isn't it? We want to be Christ-like. So, a rhythm. So, first of all, if we think of a metronome, you all know what a metronome is? To get you to set the rhythm and the pace and the speed, generally used in music. And as I listen to leaders, successful leaders, as I study successful leaders and observe carefully those leaders, and particularly the life of Jesus, what you start to see is that there's a sense of rhythm in their lives, but each one's different. So I'm always amazed at Winston Churchill. We all know Winston Churchill. If you don't know who he is, he's on the new £5 notes. So he's a pretty important guy. But Winston Churchill lived a life of rhythm. When he was the Prime Minister, he had to live a life of rhythm, and a rhythm that worked for him, which for some people, it just wouldn't work. So you might not be aware of this, but Winston Churchill used to work at home in his bed until 11 o'clock in the morning, because it just suited him. It suited his rhythm. He knew that if I get up at the general time and I'm in at this time, I'm just not going to function to the best of my ability. If I live a balanced life, which says work this life, work this time, do this. Now, as the Prime Minister of the country, that just wasn't going to work. He had to find a rhythm in his life that worked. And part of that rhythm was he stayed at home and worked in bed till 11. And I think, man, that's challenging. For some people, that might not be possible. You might think, well, I'm going to go into work tomorrow and tell my boss that the best rhythm for me is I want to work at home in bed till 11. But chances are they're going to turn and say, not on your Nelly, mate. Everybody else is in it this time. But there's other ways in your life of finding a rhythm that works for you. That, you know, it's not necessarily going to be working in bed till 11. That would be a nightmare for me. That just wouldn't work. Not unless I want two kids bouncing on my head whilst I'm trying to do something. You know, it's kind of like I come down here for a rest sometimes. It's like I just need some space. I need some quiet. But being in bed, sat in bed till 11 nowadays, I don't know how that worked for him, but it did. I don't think I've stayed in bed that long since I was a teenager, really. I just feel gross if I was in bed. It's like when people have pyjama days. I don't get it. I really don't, honestly. We're just staying in our pyjamas all day today. It's like, seriously, you need to get a shower. I know you're not leaving the house, but, you know, don't get offended if you have pyjama days. I've got family that have pyjama days, friends that have pyjama days. But for me, that's just, yeah. I just, you know, the sooner I can get out of my pyjamas and have a shower and be dressed, the better. That rhythm suits me. I don't feel like I'm fully alive till I've been in the shower. If I have to leave the house without a shower, that's like, I'm well out of rhythm. I'm not in the rhythms of grace at all. It's just like, no. But pyjama days, onesie days, it's like, see, get a shower, get dressed. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you might need to be out of the house. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe when I've got, when I'm, our kids are a bit older, it might be something that, but the, in our current season of life, just no. It's like, get me out of the pyjamas. It's, yeah, I just kind of find it a bit weird, really. But anyway, if it works for you, it works for you. If you're ill, that's a different matter. If you can't get showered and dressed, then fair enough. But I don't want to spend my days like I'm ill when I'm perfectly well. Okay, it's like I'm not well and I can't get dressed, or I'm in hospital and I have to wear a gown and that's it. The rest of the time it's up, T-shirt and jeans on. After a shower, though, got a shower in the morning. I don't, like, I would be well out of rhythm if I didn't shower in the morning, like seriously. It's like water of life. You know the song, there's water, water of life. Jesus gives us the water. I just like, I always sing that when I'm in the shower because it's like, yeah, there's life in water. That's enough about hygiene. That's not fitting in with the rhythm. That's a side note for you. If you enjoy pyjama days, full credit to you. That's your choice. But as we do that, as we start to look at this, these great leaders that live that way, and we see, okay, there's a rhythm to their life. There's a rhythm to the way Jesus lived. There's a rhythm to the way these people lived. It looks balanced because we've been conditioned to think they live balance. But when we look at it closely, we think it's rhythm. It's rhythm. It's rhythm. They find a groove that works for them. And it's different for each one. Every person is different. Some people like to get up and showered. Some people like pajama days. That is your choice. And it's not a pursuit of balance, but it's a kind of dynamic rhythm that they have. It's this rhythm of grace, a rhythm of grace. For a follower of Jesus, it would be a rhythm of grace. And a metronome, it's that picture of it. It goes from side to side. It swings it as a rhythm all the time. And you need the metronome to keep you in rhythm sometimes. I don't know if anybody's ever used one before. I was rubbish at using a metronome when I used to try and do stuff. I just couldn't keep up with it. I'd go too fast. I'd go too slow. People who are talented musicians can stay like on with a metronome and stay with it. I can't. It's just kind of like events that get faster or slower. I can't stay there. But that natural rhythm, if there's a rhythm, it fits with my energy level and desires. And it always comes back to center. If I'm living in a rhythm, I can speed the rhythm up, I can slow the rhythm down, but the rhythm always needs to come back to centre. A metronome always comes back to centre, doesn't it? It can swing further away, it can swing faster, it can swing slower, but it has to come back to centre to maintain its rhythm. So if you imagine the metronome swinging backwards and forth, but the timing is set and the feel and the pace is set by you, you can slow it down, speed it up, or make it swing longer and shorter based on the situation that you are in. There's a rhythm to it. But sometimes a metronome, it still sounds a bit mechanical. It's a bit kind of like, well, I'm still not sure about getting that rhythm of the metronome. How do I really live like this? Because that sounds a bit robotic to be coming out every day. Think this. I've even changed the metronome thing from my first one I did. But it feels a bit mechanical, but life is more rhythmic than that. Unless you stick your finger in a metronome, it'll keep the rhythm. But sometimes a finger gets stuck into your life. Something happens where that rhythm might slightly get shaken a little bit. So what about waves? Waves have a rhythm. Not just a metronome, but waves, they have a rhythm. So the picture is that the waves on a beach, the tide brings the waves in and out with a beautiful sense of rhythm. I'm one of these like people that likes to listen to waves. I'm kind of like, if I'm trying to relax, I'll sometimes put waves on my phone. Does anybody else do that? Like, there's just the sound of the... No, really, I love the sound of the ocean. I'll just put the sound of the ocean on and just lay there and relax. I'm already dressed by this point, by the way. I'm not laying around in my pyjamas. I just like the sound of the ocean because I love the sound of the rhythm of the waves. I love the sound of the ocean. I love to, if I go and stay somewhere, I love to be able to just hear the waves and the rhythm of the ocean and that sense of rhythm and power that brings them back and forth. They're never the same size. Waves are different. They're never the same speed. And the height and the force are different, but there is a rhythm that you can count on every single time. When the tide brings that wave in, there's a rhythm that brings it in. And the key is that they always come back to the shoreline. And that's like life. There's this coming back to this place all the time. A metronome comes to its center. The waves come to the shoreline. They have to make their way to the shoreline. It's just how the tide works. It brings it in and it takes it out. There is a sense of rhythm all the time. And yes, we can schedule and prioritize, and we can learn when to say no and why to say yes. But life is full of interruptions, crisis, changes, emergencies, and problems to be solved. And have you noticed that none of those things fit in with your regular routine? When you're trying to live balanced, when something comes in that wasn't planned, you get knocked off balance and you're all over the place. It's like, this wasn't in the plan. This wasn't in the schedule. I'd already written my week out for this week and this wasn't in there. And all of a sudden, there's a meltdown. I saw this really funny t-shirt yesterday. I was going to get it for Lygie because he was in the middle of having a meltdown in Asda. And it was a Christmas t-shirt with a snowman on it that says, I'm having a meltdown. And it was like, that's the perfect t-shirt for right now. But then I'm like, I'm not putting him in that. I'm not letting him walk around in that and giving him an excuse to do it. But we start to have a meltdown, don't we? It's like, this wasn't planned. This is not part of my balance. This is not within what I expected. And you see countless times when Jesus goes out, something different happens, but it doesn't faze him. Things came in, crowds appeared, things were brought to him, things happened, but there's never this sense of Jesus being fazed by what happened, because he wasn't dictated to by living a balance. He was living rhythm. He was able to speed it up and slow it down however he wanted. He'd already spent time with the Father, so he knew what he was going to do. And that rhythm was going to flow throughout his day, throughout his ministry, throughout his life. Because as he lived that rhythm, it didn't matter what happened, the rhythm could flow with it. But when we live balance, we're knocked sideways, or we're knocked out of that balance. But the rhythm can continue. The rhythm can keep flowing. Now, the key is that we need to make sure that we do like the shoreline. We come back to center. Now, if you think about rhythm or balance, think about a holiday. What's balanced about that? Like, seriously, when you go on holiday, what's balanced about a holiday? You abandon all life's responsibilities for 2 weeks. You lay on a beach and you eat what you want. That's not balanced. It's a wonderful renewing and a healthy thing to put into a rhythm of life, but it's not balanced, is it? So I sometimes feel a bit out of rhythm when we've been on holiday. It's like, oh, man, I've got to wash up again now. Or what do you mean nobody's going to bring me my dinner? Or what do you mean I can't just go get up when I want and stay in my pyjamas all day? Or I'll go to the beach when I want. It's not balanced, but it can be incorporated into a rhythm. So knowing your center, and this is where we get to the point of Jesus and how Jesus lived that rhythm. Knowing your center, as the metronome has a center, as the waves have a shoreline, we need to have something that we constantly come back to, which keeps our sense of rhythm in our life. And for Jesus, withdrawing and time with the Father was his center. He was able to live a life of rhythm because he constantly came back to center. He never got knocked off center because he was always coming back to that place. And there's countless scriptures throughout the Gospels where it shows that Jesus did this. It doesn't just say he did it, but it shows what happened. And I've got a few of them here. There's loads, but I'd be here all morning if I was to go through every single one. So in Luke 5, 15, 16, yet the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, coming to center. Mark 1, 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, not having a pajama day, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed, coming back to center. Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist has been beheaded, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He always came back to center. He didn't worry about balance because he had rhythm. He was living the unforced rhythms of grace. Graced by God, graced by the Father, because he was coming to that place of saying, regardless of what happens, regardless of how many crowds come, if my friend's beheaded, if this happens, if that happens, I'm still going to come back to center. I'm still going to come back to center. So When it hears the news about John the Baptist, how many of us would go back to centre to God when we hear bad news? How many of us, when we hear of a tragedy or something that's happened, is our first thought to say, I need to get back to centre. I need to spend time with God. Regardless of where I'm at, regardless of what's going on, I need to withdraw and be with the Father at this time, because that's centre. And for any follower of Jesus, our centre has to be the same. We need to return to God. We need to return to that place. However that looks for you, however that works for you, but it's got to be a daily thing to keep that rhythm, to draw aside to be with the Father, just as Jesus did. And as we do that, we manage to keep in step with the rhythm of grace. We manage to keep in step with the rhythm which was set out for us. It's not that we're knocked off balance, because we're not living balance. We're living in rhythm, and we're able to move into that place of center, so we can keep coming back to the shoreline, keep coming to the center, keeping going, keeping moving. Regardless of what happens, we're not knocked off balance. We'll continue to stay in a rhythm, in an unforced way. We withdraw in the same way. The key to know your center and to always come back to that place. And for Jesus, it was withdrawing with the Father. And we can see that time and time again, that there was a need in Jesus' life to do that, to withdraw and to be with Father God, to get into that place. And whether it's early in the morning, whether it's going off by boat, whether it's going to a solitary place, there needed to be that center in his life. Because at the same time, he was wanting to keep that rhythm. He wanted to ensure that he was only doing what he saw the Father doing and what the Father was saying to do. That's why he was so amazing, because he never did anything that God didn't want him to do. Sometimes we just slip up a bit, don't we? We're kind of, our heartstrings might get tugged on or pulled a bit, and we do something out of the goodness of our heart, even though God's not said to do it. Or we get stressed, so we just respond to something quickly, but God hasn't said to necessarily respond in that way. But what I love about seeing the rhythm of Jesus' life is it was always informed by what God said to do. Sometimes he did do something, sometimes he didn't do something. But it was always what God had said, because he was in the rhythm and he was always coming back to center. And for me, my personal center is the same. I need to come back to that place of prayer all the time. And I can tell if I'm not doing that. The rhythm of my life is knocked out completely. If I'm not coming back to that place of withdrawing with God, and I'm not talking about necessarily going on a retreat all the time. That's a good thing to do occasionally, or to get away and do that kind of thing. But on a daily thing of saying, okay, God, I need to just sit with you now. And it sounds basic, and think, yeah, well, I know that. I know we're supposed to spend quiet time with God every day. Yes, we are. But when we do that, it's more than just a religious duty. It's more than just something that we do because we're told we should do it, or it's a good thing to do. We do it because, yes, we're led to do it. The Holy Spirit wants to commune with God through us. We want to withdraw and be with Father God. And as we do that, it brings us back to center and keeps that rhythm of grace in our life flowing. There might be some other things for you personally. There might be other things onto that that think, well, yeah, if I don't do this in my life, I kind of feel like I'm a bit unsettled. The rhythm gets knocked out. The rhythm's not quite the same. So, yes, for every single Jesus follower, it should be returning to center and being with the Father. There might be some other things in that as well for you. So for me, it's spending time with Sam. If I don't spend that time with Sam every day, at some point I start to feel out of rhythm. Something's not quite right. Something's not working. But as I do that, that relationship with God makes all the other relationships better. Have you noticed that? The more time you spend with God, the better your relationships are with everybody else. Whereas the less time you spend with him, the not so great. Because your focus gets on yourself then, you see. Whereas when you focus on God, it's better for everybody. When I spend time with Sam, it helps me to be the best that I can be. It helps me to live how I'm supposed to live, to serve and to take care of my responsibilities. Sam will say it how it is, and she will tell me some things she doesn't think it's right. She will, you know, wives are great for that, in a good way. Pastor Clive was saying when I was here last Saturday that sometimes he can get a bit serious when he's up front in church, when he's preaching or doing something, and he'll just look, and Jane will be shaking her head at him just like, because he's just getting too serious, and he just knows he has to snap out of it and lighten up a little bit. But you know, for me, it's the same. I need that center to get that time where I can sit with Sam. It might be only a short time, but I've got to make sure that that's scheduled in all the time to keep the rhythm in my life. Without that, it becomes a challenge and my rhythm is all off. The most common problem to successfully living out a dynamic rhythm is when we don't come back to center and we just stop doing it. We don't spend that time with God or go back to the other things. You know, for some people, it's going to be different. It might be if I don't get to exercise at least a few times a week, then I feel completely out of rhythm and I just can't do it. If I don't do this, if I don't do that, then my rhythm's completely out. A lot of people nowadays would say prayer and exercise are the two center points for them to come back to that rhythm. I'd love to say that prayer and exercise are my two, but it's really not that big a deal for me. I'd love to think, yeah, exercise is a big thing. If I don't exercise, I feel really bad. I'm not actually that bothered. I should exercise, and I like to exercise, but I don't feel like my life spirals out of into chaos if I'm not exercising. I'd love to be a healthy freak who kind of loves to do that, but I don't. I will start trying to get healthy again at some point physically and start doing some kind of exercise. But for some people, it's like, if I don't exercise, I just feel it's not working, it's not happening. And whether we get into that, recognizing, okay, there needs to be a center, as I come back to that center, whether that's a daily, a weekly, or a monthly rhythm of coming back to those things. Obviously, the God center has to be a daily thing. It's got to be something we come back to all the time to keep that rhythm. But there might be some things monthly, weekly, that you think, if I don't do this, and I start to feel a bit out of rhythm. And it's important to know our home base, to know what those things are. Whether you're running hard at work, whether you're on holiday, or you're tending to stuff at home, it's always good to keep that rhythm in mind and know, okay, regardless of what's going on, this rhythm needs to keep ticking along. This rhythm needs to work. I need to come back to that place. And there's a couple of questions for us to think about. And first one is, what is your center? What's your center? Personally, you don't have to answer that. But what is your center? What do you recognize and think, if I don't come back to that point, I can feel the rhythm of my life starts to slow down, speed up, lose its track. It loses track. As I said, for anybody that's a Jesus follower, one of them is prescribed, really. It's coming back to that place of being with the Father, not out of duty, but out of a love of doing that and spending time with him and knowing that not only because it enables us to keep our rhythm going, but it's a great thing to do. Just getting to that place is a great thing. What are some of the other things in your life that you think, if I don't do that, the center just gets complete, my rhythm is knocked out completely. I don't feel like I'm in that rhythm of grace. It starts to feel forced rather than unforced. And the things that we do, what is it that helps you learn to that, to return to that secure and healthy rhythm? What are the things that help you to do that? So everyone has different energy levels, and that's part of why balance doesn't solve it, because it's too mechanical. The mechanical nuts and bolts of balance don't help with that system. You have to do what works for you. And sometimes we see what works for somebody else and we think, that would work for me, and we try it and it's like, this is just not working, this is just not natural, this doesn't flow, this isn't, and you don't find your groove. Because it's a bit too nuts and bolts and a bit too mechanical. But when you find your groove and you get into that flow, you think, man, this works for me. And what is the key things that you're held responsible to accomplish? What has God given you to accomplish? And there's a healthy pattern and rhythm for you to do that. I love Jesus' healthy pattern and rhythm that he lived in to accomplish what the Father had sent him to accomplish to do. We too have a healthy rhythm to enable us to do that. And there might be extremes. At certain times, you might need to push hard for a season. You might need to push hard, and it might be difficult, and it might be challenging. It might be a struggle, and it might be hard work. But again, a bit like a holiday, that's short term. That shouldn't become how we live all the time. I think Andy Elms sums it up as saying how books have a margin for a reason. A margin is there to go into when you need to do that. But if you're writing in the margin all the time, you've just eliminated the margin and it's no longer a book with a margin. It should be there to go into. And sometimes you're going to need to push hard and the rhythm's going to need to speed, the rhythm's going to change, but it should always be shouldn't become a lifestyle of living that way, very much like living a permanent holiday, as much as a lot of us might think, that'd be great. But eventually when you speak to most people, people say, it was great, but I'm not sure I could live like that. I'm not sure I could live like that. Some people are thinking, I could live at Centre Park for the rest of my life, or I could live on a beach in New York for the rest of my life. But for some people, when you speak to them, say, oh, it was great, 2 weeks was good, I couldn't live like that for the rest of my life. because it doesn't fit with the rhythm of your life, and it doesn't help attain and get to the point where you want to be. And it's different for everyone. So, for example, a military leader or a business leader, they might travel a lot. They might need to move around the country a lot. They might need to move around the world a lot. But they find a rhythm that works for them that requires a very different rhythm to someone else. What about servicemen or firefighters? Their rhythm's going to look different. They work sometimes a 7-24, 3 days a week with 4 days off. That kind of like blags my head. I'm like, okay, how do you work that then? But they find a rhythm that works, and it works great for them. But their rhythm is different, and all our rhythms are different. The centre is the same. As a Jesus follower, the centre is the same. We come back to the Father. There might be some other things that keep that rhythm going as well. There might be some other centres that are not God, that are not your time with God, but just things that you think, if I don't do this, my rhythm's just out. But learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I'm just going to read that scripture one more time. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's not too good to be true. It is true and it is good. And it is attainable. Through God, you can live a life of unforced rhythms of grace. Yes, there's going to be times when you have to push. There's going to be times when you rest. There's going to be times when things happen that you think, man, I wasn't expecting that. But if you keep returning to center and you stay in that rhythm, it doesn't matter what comes against you, it won't knock you off balance. Because you're no longer trying to live balance. You are living rhythm. And just how Jesus said, watch how I do it. He withdrew with the Father. He got time with the Father. He went to a solitary place. He went to that place to come back to center all the time. So come back to center. Jesus, be the center. It's more than just a song. It's more than just a candle in the middle of the Advent wreath. Today's the first Sunday of Advent, by the way. So it's nearly Christmas. That's the point where those people that are quite smug say, I've had my presents wrapped since April. And those are the people that think, I've not even started yet. 4 weeks, really? Why did you have to tell me that? Come back to centre. Stay in rhythm. Even at Christmas, stay in rhythm. And at times like Christmas and holiday, it's easy to lose that rhythm. Because other things come in which we think, oh, well, maybe if I just don't come back to centre today, I'll be okay. But when the rhythm goes off, we need to come back to centre, even over the Christmas period, even over December when things are slightly different. When the rhythm of life changes, you need to keep coming back to centre so that the rhythm remains intact, so that the coming back to centre remains intact. Let's all stand and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, thank you that we're able to live those unforced rhythms of grace. We're able to live that life where you don't lay anything ill-fitting, too heavy on us. Lord, that when we find ourselves in that place where it becomes a struggle, where it becomes a strain, that we would remember your words and we would come to that place and just recognize that there's a promise on us that says, I'm not going to lay anything on you. That you say, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. That what we are doing for you, yes, sometimes it's a pressure, and yes, sometimes it brings challenges, but you never lay anything on us that's too heavy or ill-fitting. Lord, help us to recognize when we're not coming back to center, that we would recognize it quickly and swiftly so we can do something about it before our rhythm becomes so out of rhythm that we start to become stressed or anxious or pressured or unsettled. Thank you that you don't want us to be in that place. You don't want your children to be stressed, anxious, or unsettled. You want us to keep coming to that place of center and living that rhythm of grace. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you that it's more than just a grace that saves. It's a grace that empowers us to live a life of fruitfulness, of grace, of joy, of love, of faith, of hope. Thank you, Father. Lord, bless us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.